A very warm welcome to Sustainability and Excellence, the podcast about organizational excellence, sustainable development and CSR. And here is your host, Alexander Hertzner.
Hi, a very warm welcome out of Calcutta. Today is my guest, Dr. Nayan Mitra. Dr. Nayan, just a short introduction. You are a CSR expert here in India. What is your main topic on sustainability and CSR?
Good evening, Alexander. Thank you for inviting me for this podcast, Stephen. Yes, CSR is a new topic here in India. Before 2013, CSR meant philanthropy and charity, but in 2013, there was a huge leap through the Companies Act 2013. And the Companies Act 2013 brought out Section 135 and Schedule 7. So Section 135 laid down certain rules that some of the companies, large stable companies, have to follow, and they have to spend 2% of their profit after tax on CSR. Now again, the CSR that is defined by the law mainly falls under Schedule 7. So they have 12 projects which were earmarked and which also links to the National Development Goals of India, as well as the sustainable goals, and the companies have to spend their money and do projects with regards to those 12 projects.
So the government is offering 12 projects, so I have, as a company, no choice to spend the money to an organization I want to spend. I have to be compliant to the 12 projects I get offered.
Yes, but the 12 projects are not the government projects. The 12 projects could be independent projects as well, but the company has to either spend through their own CSR department, which they have to formulate, or they can also spend it through implementing agencies, which are NGOs, which means which are trusts, foundations, or Section 8 companies, and they can spend through them as well. So if the company cannot work at the grassroots level, cannot work on certain aspects because they are not trained to work in the grassroots level like that, they can also use the help of implementing agencies or civil societies who are already experts in doing those. But again, Alexander, there's a challenge here. The challenge is that we have about 16,300 companies who would need to spend about 2.8 billion INR year on year, and we have about 3.3 million NGOs in India. So 16,300 companies trying to figure out which is the right mix or the right fix for them to spend their CSR money on from those 3.3 million NGOs is a challenge. So again, there is a shift. So the shift is that most of these large companies are starting their own foundations, and they are now spending through their own foundations.
Okay, so I guess that there is even a huge challenge in the companies because now they have to deal with CSR. So CSR is of course a common sense. There's no one definition of CSR, but it is a corporate social responsibility. So it's a conception based on a vision of sustainability. So a corporate social responsibility or a corporate social responsible organization should be in line with social aspects, also with economic aspects, and with environmental aspects. And I guess to bring that balance in a good way, if they have to spend 2%, I guess this is very challenging for organizations.
Yes, it is indeed, because again, in 2013, the CSR mandate came, as I said, and they became operational in 2014. The corporations were not happy because they had to spend some money on CSR. So they thought this was like an additional taxation. They were not happy with it at all. So there was a lot of debate and a transition. But now that 5 years have passed since the act was passed, the companies are now have taken it very positively to spend this money. And there is also a paradigm shift in how the companies are thinking. Very specifically, you know, if the large companies are thinking in terms of social development, social, economic, environmental development, change, which also has a ripple effect on the small and medium enterprises, because again then they are usually the supply chain to these large companies, and they also start start a change process, a transformation process themselves. So yes, there is a beginning, it has started, the change has started, but as in any transition, it will take some time to settle down.
Okay, so we cannot measure effectiveness right now, so we have to wait some years.
Yes, that's, you're right. So effectiveness, actually now is the right time, now that those 5 years have passed, now onwards is the right time to understand effectiveness, to look into effectiveness, to look into social impact and how it has had an effect on the entire economy. Interestingly enough, Alexander, my first book, it was in 2016, which was right after the law was passed. And what we brought out in that were studies and empirical studies and a lot of case studies and also the way forward of the CSR Act. And after 5 years, we came out with the second book, like in 2019, we came out with the second book once the 5 years have passed since the law has been passed. And then it already shows a different picture. So, suddenly it has become a longitudinal study. So we weren't very conscious when we did that, when we did it in 2016, again in 2019. But again, it became a longitudinal study where we can see and we can note the change that has happened from 2016 to 2019.
So do you think that the companies have now developed an awareness on sustainability or even more on corporate social responsibility, and are they able to deal with the challenges? So have they developed specific competences?
One thing you have to remember, India is very fast. When they start learning, they're very fast when they learn and to adapt. But yes, sometimes they're a little shy or they are a little late in starting. So what it has happened, even in May, I was at a training. I was training some of the top management teams of large corporations in India, and what I found, yes, they wanted to know more about CSR and CSR reporting as per the law, but they were not interested to know about SDGs, about Sustainable Development Goals. So SDGs came in 2016. So by 2019, early 2019, India was not so much concerned about the SDGs. But suddenly, within the next 3 to 4 months, the next training that I had, I found people really talking about it and at least trying to learn more about it. So the exposure has started. So, in management, we talk about the AIDA process, the awareness, interest, desire, and action. So the awareness process has started, and it is, in the borderline of interest. But the desire and action, I'm sure in the next couple of years, it will take, it will be very big.
So I guess that the organization, of course, has to challenge to implement the CSR conception into the strategy.
Yes.
And not just that it is nice words, but they came into action. So what would organizations need to move forward?
Right now, CSR is not within the strategy so much. The reason being, CSR has been kept as a separate unit from the mainstream management in India with the law, because again the law says that certain things that you anyways are required to do, the companies are anyways required to do not fall under CSR. So they cannot put it into the CSR format of reporting under the law. But again, sustainability, of course, they can integrate anytime. They must integrate any time. See, one of the reasons, because again, there's a big difference between developed countries and emerging economies, because in our country, we have about 1.3 billion people here. So we have the second largest population in the world. And, and our social indicators are very low. And on the other hand, we have, some of the sixth largest billionaire population. So we have a sixth largest billionaire population on one hand, and on the other hand, our social indicators are so low. And yet we are a democracy. So it's a very, you know, a very complicated mix of people and structures and systems. So right now what we are trying to do is get our social indicators higher. So there is, you know, the people who are more skilled, they have more education, they have more health, hygiene, and we want the corporations to work towards this, because the government alone is not being able to do this. The government was not being able to do this, and that's one of the reasons why the corporations need to come in, and they have to think, because again the government says that we do not need their money so much. What we need is their involvement in national development, because corporations, usually enterprises, are entrepreneur people. They think differently, they are dynamic, they can take decisions faster, and they think in terms of economic growth. So once they put their head into pulling the social system or the social structure up, then there is going to be change, a huge change, which will work for India.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see two points. I want to talk about the development path, but first, well, I respect that your government has ordered by law to spend money for CSR activities, because in Germany or in Europe, we don't see that laws anyway. But we have a similar law that organizations, bigger organizations and corporations, have to report on social and environmental indicators. So they have to expand their balance sheets and their economic reporting system with more indicators. Do you see any effect from Europe with that law that organizations have now to report not only to the Companies Act in line, but also on sustainability issues in general? Because we are thinking about global value chains.
There are two types of companies in India. One are large companies, large companies with Indian origin, and large companies which are multinational corporations. So multinational corporations anyways have been doing their sustainability reporting. So they have their sustainability reporting, GRI reportings, all those reportings in place. But for the Indian origin companies, which are usually large family owned businesses, they are starting the process right now. Because for them, for a long period of time, most of them thought that talking about sustainability, it was mainly a profit maximization process. So talking about sustainability again pulled them back. But suddenly, with the global consciousness, with the CSR processes coming in, people are reading up and learning more. They want a real change, because again, you know, if the Earth doesn't survive, then what's the use of having a business? So the aim of the business is not to grow, it has to exist beyond a time. It has to survive. So if the Earth doesn't survive, then the business will not survive.
Yeah. So just to summarize, I see a very diverse picture on the CSR debate here. Where I see also a very diverse picture is on the sustainability path, because going out with you to through the streets, we saw coconuts unpacked. Mm. We sell coconuts pulled in plastic in our supermarkets in Europe. So we see a lot of basic sustainable principles here in India on the one hand side, and on the other hand side, you want to develop. 1.3 million people, you say?
Billion
people, you say. So you have to be careful which principles of Western countries you can implement, because imagine, for example, just for paper towels, so the one times used able, if they're just thrown away, or the plastic pollution. We see a lot of plastic pollution here in the roads, but imagine if they would adapt principles from our Western region. Well, I guess that would be not handable to you.
You're right, Alexander. You're absolutely right, because again, when India already had sustainable solutions. India does have a sustainable solution. It's just because, you know, they want to grow and they want to aid the Western world, that in developed countries, that they are taking up certain things right now. But we grew up in a very sustainable way. Reuse, recycle, it was the way of life for us. For some of us who's grown up during that time, it's still a way for us. we don't buy unless we have to buy. So it's not within our system. We never used paper towels. We always used napkins to, you know, wipe the table and then wash it, dry it, because we have a very strong sun. About 8 months of the year, we have very strong sun here. So we just wash, dry. Every day we wash our clothes, dry our clothes. We don't use a washing machine. We don't use a dishwasher. We have people. And again, people is, you know, that's kind of something we have, you know, we are blessed with a lot of population, and, you know, we can, that way everybody is happy, you know, we are saving the earth, we are giving, society, there is economic development, there is social development, so it can go on like this. Yes, but we will not have certain basic things, that if we now want a washing machine, or we want a dishwasher, or we want paper napkins on our towel, or we want bananas wrapped in plastic, we won't have it. But then that's not the aspiration that we should look for. So our aspiration should be something that we already had. We should cherish that, and we should be proud of that. And that's
so
what I think.
Otherwise it would be a collapse to your ecosystems and, of course, to your society systems.
Absolutely, because again, when the developed countries have done the things that they have done, and I'm very candid about this, already we are seeing the sustenance of Earth itself is a question mark. But if 1.3 billion people in India start doing it, then God save the Earth.
So I guess this is one point what the Western communities could learn from India, to focus again on old basic routes,
yeah.
Replace, reuse, recycle, repair. And I guess, in all the development discussion, India has to be careful what they are adopting and what not.
Yes.
Because not every single action and model or conception would fit here. But I guess we can learn also a lot of sustainability principles here in India, what we should adopt.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll give you one or two examples. You know, when we were growing up, for every invitation, you know, large invitation in weddings and marriages, our food used to be served on banana leaves. So, you know, we used to have our food on banana leaves, throw the banana leaves, and the glasses were earthen glasses, which we could throw, and those were completely sustainable. Even now, when we have tea on the road, we have tea on the road, which is in earthenware, and we just throw it, okay? And then it's sustainable completely. Only now, we have started using plastic cups in which tea is served, and that's ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't taste as good as you having it in earthenware, and it's completely unsustainable.
So, have you an idea why people are adopting this behavior?
Is
it just to make it money, or is it just about
convenience? Because those small plastic cups, it's very mobile. It's easy to stock, whereas those earthenware earthenwares are brittle, and also it takes up a lot of volume. So I think it's convenience. But again, where is the end to convenience? How much convenience do you want, and at what cost? So that is the question.
Okay, so even if I see the nutrition, there's a lot of cooking, there are a lot of seasonal fruits, there is a lot of regional foods. So we have to import every banana we want to eat. So discussing about the global footprint, we have to rethink who is responsible for the carbon footprint of a nation, and of course, what is the import and the export of a carbon footprint. So what would your message be from an Indian perspective to the Western countries? What are your wishes, your expectations to our Western nations?
Relearn, unlearn, and relearn. So that is my message to the Western world and the developed countries. Unlearn, relearn, and give it back to us. Because India, again, as I said, we have so much of our social indicators are low. So we have a lot of uneducated people. Whenever there is uneducation, there is blind followers. There are blind followers. So we have blind followers, and I'm not ashamed to say this, because yes, we have blind followers. So they want to follow you at some point about your practices. So the moment you come across, you unlearn and relearn and give it back to us, we will follow. Right? Mm-hmm. And also, it is also for us, you know, the people who are more exposed, who are in leadership positions, to lead by examples. That is very important, to lead by examples.
Okay, what would you say is one of the learnings what India can learn from our nations?
Right now, the focus that you are giving towards sustainability, I think that's something India should learn from you. Because in India, this concept, they're still very unexposed to this. So right now, they must learn this from you, that this focus needs to be built into their lifestyle, rebuild into their lifestyle and the way and their living.
Okay, so then I have good news to you, because the last 2 days we were training, or we have trained new assessors for sustainable organizations. So they can go out with a tool, the Sumo tool, assess organizations, can give feedback and can show an organization the potential behind the CSR and the SDG way, so that they can create new products, new processes and even new market opportunities. So maybe what we have done the last 2 days here together,
yes,
is a great starting point for the new era of the CSR and the SDG way.
I completely agree with you, Alexander. It's been an amazing last 2 days with so many people, and even our review also showed that there was a marked difference, even quantitatively there was a marked difference in their perception of SDGs and CSR, and that's amazing. At least somebody has to start, and I'm so glad that we have been able to start somewhere. And you know, this discussion will continue and they will take it forward from here, and so shall we. I'm very glad that this has happened.
So we are also very glad, because India, in all the debates, who's the most sustainable country, who has the responsibility, who should improve? So it's like a ping pong game. Every nation gives the ball back to the other nation. You have to start, you have to start, you have to start. I guess we can be proud to say that India was the starting point for a new era. And we were very happy to be invited by you to do this workshop these 2 days here. And I hope we come back for the other workshops again. Thank you, Nayan.
Thank you, Alexander. My pleasure.
Thank you for listening the podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Find out more in the lectures, seminars or my other channels. Visit visionpluschange.com. Stay excellent and be sustainable.